I was really excited. When I saw Christmas Day was going to be on Sunday and New Year's Day, I was like, Lord, this is great. It's a great thing. If you weren't here for Christmas and the week before, after, great time. We had a Christmas Eve service across the street at the high school, and it was just a total blessing. And then we had Christmas Day service here, a Sunday service, the next day. And it was an absolute blessing. And there were different folks. Some showed up at the Christmas Eve. Some showed up at Christmas Day. There was some overlap, but it was great that I was thankful that the Lord directed us to offer both days. I mean, and the truth is, here's the thing. If it's Sunday, we're having church, okay? If it's Sunday, we're having church because it's Sunday. It's the Lord's day. He rose on a Sunday. We are going to remember who Christ is. And at the end of this service, we get to share in the Lord's Supper together. And so that's fantastic as we remember what Jesus did for us on the cross. But, you know, the earth has made it one more time around the sun. It's happened. And we're here. Our little blue ball has made it around that ball of fire. And here we are one more time. Some of you have been on this ride for a while, huh? Right? Make it stop. Make it stop. It's like NASCAR. It only goes one way, but it's just like left turn. Left turn. Okay, sorry, if you're into NASCAR, I'm so sorry, but okay, all right, I'm going to stop right now. I do want you to hear the rest of this message. Listen, if it's your first time at Telus, welcome, and if you've been here for a while, we're so glad to have you. If you're sitting on the right side of your row and you didn't come with a Bible, please grab the Bible that's under that chair. It's for you. If you don't own a Bible, take it. It's not stealing, because I just said you can take it. We'll put a new one there next week, but it's important that you have a Bible, especially as we read the Bible, that you can follow along. My voice can only do so much, but I think if you're seeing the words, it's just one more way the Lord can speak to your heart. So if you need a Bible, person on the right side of your row, this side, has the Bible under their chair. If you are sitting on the right side of your row, please grab the blue softcover folder so that we can write down something in there that we can thank the Lord for on your behalf and pray for you about or someone you know. And we will pray this week. So as you pick up that folder, write down something in there, tear it off, put it in the other side and hand it to the person to your left. And during the course of service, you can do that, and we will pray, the men will pray Tuesday morning in 2 days, January 3rd, we will be here praying on behalf of the church, and we'll go through each one of those, and we'll pray for each one of those, and on Thursday, the women will pray here at the church too, and the times are in your bulletin, and they're also on the screen, and it's an abbreviated schedule this week. The office had been closed during this last week, and we're just sort of kind of gearing things up for this week. A lot of our ministries, as far as when they restart, that will all happen. All those restarting ministries will happen, and you'll see it on the back of your bulletin in the blue box there. Foundations, Junior High Ministry, Revelation Study is starting up, and that's happening January 10th. That's awesome, through the entire book of Revelation. College ministry, college worship, men's and women's midweek Bible studies are starting up. So we're going to, it's all going to happen and it's all gearing up. But right now it's good to take a rest and it's good to slow down. And it's an important thing for us to have those seasons. So this week the office will be, on limited hours for sure. And, but there are some important things in the bulletin there. The first, the third, and the fifth. And, just letting you know about some of the things happening. Care Home is happening this afternoon. If you'd like to serve the, folks there at Eureka Rehabilitation Center and love on them, push some wheelchairs and, just really be the love of the Lord to them. You know, just show the love of the Lord to them. That'd be, awesome if you want to do that this afternoon. We do it every Sunday afternoon. So let's be honest here. How many of you stayed up till midnight here? Yep. All right. All right. I stayed up till midnight in New York. Well, you know, it's kind of funny because you're on the West Coast and you're like, you're watching the ball drop. It's like, that was 3 hours ago. Like, you're watching it. They're all out, asleep, drunk, whatever. Like, they're not even awake anymore. Like, you're watching it taped. You can watch last year. It's the same, except the number changed on the top of the... Okay, anyway... Because I've been there for the ball drop in New York, and it's cold. It's just cold, and you're like, come on, right? And then the ball drops, and so about 9 o'clock, you know, I call my brother, or I text my brother in New York, and I was like, hey, like, Happy New Year, and, you know, it was all that good stuff. And then if you were sleeping, though, and you lived in McKinleyville, I don't know about Arcata, because I live in McKinleyville, don't worry, because there's folks that let you know that 2017 had rung in, right? A few of those people are here this morning. And I want you to know, they sit, you know, in very different locations, but Joe Kent and Lee Benson, both of them, if you think, like, oh, they're probably sleeping. Yeah, right. I had some pictures of them shooting off some fireworks, but they've gotten deleted. So I'll have to track them down. Maybe I'll show them to you at some point in time. But there is photographic evidence of these two guys. 2016, a year that, you know, went by, and I think for a lot of us went by as a blink, just so fast. Like, we're here again? We're here again at January 1st? Didn't we just do this? Did we get a whole year out of 2016? A lot of things that were happening in 2016, there were many births that happened in 2016, there were many deaths that happened in 2016. In fact, a lot of the news stories near the end of last year had to do with how many folks that were famous had passed away in 2016. I heard just yesterday, December 31st, William Christopher, he was an actor, Father Mulcahy in the TV show MASH. Right, yeah, just before the first, just before midnight, a couple hours before midnight, passed away, stepped off into eternity, 84 years old. Queen Elizabeth II, she has been sick for going on over a week and a half now. She missed Christmas Day service, and the news was that she's going to miss New Year's Day service today on Sunday. A false report was going through the internet that she had died. And so, you know, Buckingham Palace had to go, no, the Queen is not dead. But the thing is, she's not dead yet. And I know I'm not like trying to laugh for the sake of humor, but I mean, just the reality, like, yet is the key word. She's not dead yet. There was a, I think it was GoFundMe or somebody, they put a page up for Betty White. She was like one of the golden girls, right? To save Betty White from 2016. In other words, said 2016 wouldn't claim her life. But Betty White is going to die, okay? And of course, it's like, well, you're raising money so that what? You're going to, like, keep the Grim Reaper away or something? I don't understand. How does raising money keep somebody from dying? But that's the kind of world we live in. And, you know, in all of those deaths that happened, I had to think about, even for here at our church, I kind of look back and go, where were we last year? I keep a track of all our bulletins and messages and stuff and kind of go back like last year, year before, whatnot. I went last year and we did a memorial service. I think we have a screen from it. We can put it up. Remember Timmy? Timmy Parr. That we did his memorial service January 9th of last year. I mean, that both seems like not that long ago and a long time ago at the same time. At the care home in the last 2 weeks, Betty at the care home, if you've gone to Eureka Care and you've been just praying for folks and loving folks, you would know Betty. Betty would go sit next to Linda and Linda would play songs on the piano, but there was a specific song. I had to ask Joe what it was. One Day at a Time was a song that Betty would just, it was her favorite song, and Linda would play it, and she would be there in the wheelchair, and she would be right next to her. And Betty, just a week and a half or so ago, before Christmas, she spent this Christmas with Jesus. Amen. Betty went to go be with Jesus. How young was Betty, Joe? 93 years old. Don told me a story in the last week or two. It's kind of been on my mind, this thought, you know. And it's not really a morbid thought. I don't think about death in morbid terms. Before I was a Christian or walking with the Lord, I absolutely did. There's this fear and there's this, oh no, don't talk about it, because if you talk about it, it's going to happen. Newsflash, it's going to happen. Whether you talk about it or don't talk about it, so I say talk about it, because the Bible says talk about it. My son, Remington, he was talking with Don. Don mentioned this. What was the question, Don, that he asked? I wrote down here, so, Mom, you're going to die before me? Was that kind of it? Or I'm going to, what was it that he said? Right. 7 years old. Moment of realization that, hold on, there's people that I love, and with all odds, I'm going to outlive you. And for Remington, I'm sure there was that moment of thinking, "What? How am I going to live my life without my mom?" Right? I mean, just this realization that death is real. It's a real thing. 7 years old, and was that a horrible moment in his life? No, that's a great moment in his life. Because there's something that happens when you realize that there's an end date. That there is a stop moment. That there is a milestone, if you will. The milestone of where you breathe your last breath on this life. It's already marked out. God already knows what that is for you. And each moment you get closer. By the time this service is over, you'll be 2 hours closer to stepping off into eternity. So it's one of those things that I know the world, they're just like, make 2016 end because people just keep dying. Like, did you not realize that people are dying? Yes, it seems like a lot of famous people have died, but people have died every single day of 2016 and will in 2017 as well. For my son Remington, when he said that, that was an important time in his life for him to realize, because then you start to cherish the moments you have with the people around you. You cherish those times. I mean, even this right here, it's Sunday morning. It's fine, I'll miss Sunday, because Sunday will happen next week. Sunday will happen next week, but that person that's here may not be here. Life situations may change. People may move. And so every single time we meet is a unique one-time event. Wait, Jim, Sunday's going to happen next week. You have church next Sunday. Yes, but this, what's happening this morning is only going to happen this morning here. The uniqueness of what's happening here. Sometimes folks are like, I missed a meeting with the church, or I missed service or something like that. Can you tell me what it was like? Words aren't adequate. Like, you actually have to experience it. You have to be present. You have to see it. How do you explain a hug? How do you explain the joy when you see somebody you haven't seen in years and your eyes connect and you're like, how are you doing? How do you express that in words? You have to be there. You have to be present. You know, this life is so quick, and I mentioned it on either Christmas Day or Christmas Eve. Christmas Day I mentioned. 1 week ago I mentioned it. Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says this, and just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. Yeah, that's right. You're going to die. It's appointed. Appointed. Not accidental. Not, hey, we don't know. Maybe. Appointed. There's an appointment. We all have one. We all have one. So, you know, the length of a person's days and how long they lived. I found a couple charts here, and one is the population, or not the population, the average age of a person based on the year. And so we kind of look from the 1950s, and I think it's kind of like a time chart. If we have that one, it's from the, yeah, there we go. Looking from the 1950s all the way to the 20s, which we're not at yet. Red line, about 2017. And there's a lot of, you know, wow, there's a general trend, okay? The general trend is going up. Life expectancy at birth by region. And this was done in 2008 by the UN. And if you look at it, the yellow at the very bottom there, in 1950, the average age of whoever is represented by yellow was 40 years old. Average age, 40 years old. A good portion of us in here have gone past that. This is 1950s. What is that yellow? And even the green, they're right there next to each other. The yellow, Africa, in 1950, average age, 40. The green, right above the yellow, at 40 for 1950, is Asia. Now, if we look from the 1950s to 2017, in Africa, the average age has gone up, it's amazing, almost 20 years, from 40 to just under 60 years old. The average age, though, in Asia, has gone up over 30 years. I mean, that's like your life has been extended by like 70%. That's huge. In just a span of 60, 70 years or so, your life expectancy has gone, if you lived in Asia, from 40 years old at birth to 70. That's a huge deal. Let's look at the world on average is the blue line. The blue line over there that starts between 40 and 50 in the 1950s. About 1950, the average age of anybody in the world, if you took all the averages, was about 45 or so. And now as we look at it, the average age in the world is about 70. What are those lines above, though? Well, red one is Latin America and the Caribbean, and then above that is more developed regions, which we would fall into. And do you see where we're creeping up upon? 80? 80 years old. Average age. That's an amazing thing. But if you've been with us for the study through Genesis, you realize that that's nothing. Like, these guys haven't even started living yet compared to some of those in Genesis. But we look at these ages and we look at how there's a general trend about how folks are living longer. But it's not because the human body is getting better. It's because of medical technology. Really, our human bodies are breaking down at a rate, well, generation after generation. Our bodies are not becoming stronger. And yet, this kind of hides that because people tend to live longer. You know, in Jesus' time, average age there during the Roman Empire and in general was between, it's amazing, listen to this, between 20 and 30. Wait, are you saying that just everybody walking around were like 25-year-olds? No. I'm saying that there was definitely people that were 40, 50, 60 years old. It's just so many died young that when you average them all out, the average age was someplace between 20 and 30. And I would say almost all of us have outlived that average. So we look at it and we kind of, you know, go, okay, wow, huh, where do I? And then, of course, we have to ask the question, where do I fit, right? Look at this next one. This is this is average age based on location. And of course, Jim, way to go. There's no guide. It's just a bunch of colors. Yay. The average age of 80 years old is the darkest blue. So that would include our neighbors to the north, Canada, and Australia, Japan out there. You know, and you got a lot of Europe there with an average age that's just right there, about 80. And then America, we're 77 point something, right? We're lighter shade of blue. And then it kind of goes through that spectrum from the blues, then to the dark greens, and then you start to get to the oranges, and then you get to this section right here in South Central Africa, where the average age is 40 or less. So even though Africa in general, if you average them all out, you get a much higher one. If you break it down even to smaller regions, you realize that what a change in age spans and life expectancy in our world. So, you know, some of you, when you came into church this morning, you looked at your bulletins and you're like, this is like Scantron, like pull out my number 2 pencil and like, are we going to take a test? Except there's no numbers. There's no nothing. Well, if you look at your bulletin, welcome to your life. Every single one of these circles represents 1 month of your life. And what you get to do, if you choose to, it's too depressing, Jim. I can't do it. 40, hold on. 42. 40, Don, how old am I? 42? 42. June, July, August, September, October, November, December, January. All right, great. So for me, you need to fill, then it's like a book. You read from the right to, this is craft day here at Telios Christian Fellowship, from the right to the left, just like a book. Wait, from the left to the right. From the left to the right. You start out with a nice yellow, bright yellow dot there. That's the day you were born. Happy birthday. By the way, my daughter Miley, tax deduction baby. She was born December 31st. We celebrated her birthday yesterday. It was awesome. Natural birth, too. Tax deduction is awesome. Great. So anyway, you're born. Happy birthday to you. We're really glad you're born. And so that's that first day, the yellow dot. And then from there on, just fill in a dot for every month you've lived. If you look across, every row is 2 years. Every row has 24 dots in it, so that's 2 years. Every time you get to a blue dot, just so you didn't have to count every dot, it's 10 years. 10, 20. This screen has 40 years worth of dots. Some of you are below the title, okay? I'm below the title by like a line and a half. I'm the second dot under the letter I under Make It Count. That's right there. All right. Everything, and if I was to fill it up, everything above it has already been used. No going back. No changing. No modification. What has happened has happened. Now, I have a couple dots left below me, but those are not guaranteed. I have an appointment. There's an appointed date someplace in here. I just don't know which one it is. Average age for Americans? It's that black dot at the bottom with the, ominous red circle around it. Boy, that's average. 77 and a half, right? Okay, that's what I just did for the United States right there. 77 and a half right there. So some of you are just going, if you're above 80, you are in overtime because you filled up all the dots on this page. Some are just like, you know what you need to do? Get a second bulletin and start filling that one out, right? Okay. I think this is important. No, I really do. I think this is important. It has the date on it, January 1st, 2017. It has these dots. You can fill them out. You can stick them in your bulletin. And you can remind yourself that your days are precious. Every single one of them is precious. Every single one of them has a plan that God wants to do in that day, and He doesn't want you to waste them. There's no days to waste. You have no days to waste in this life. None. I know some of you are looking like 10, 20, 30, 40, and you start to go down and you go, wait a second here. Seeing how much time you have left, I want to tell you this, is not meant to depress you. It's not meant to depress you. It isn't. It isn't. And I will prove that. Not from my own words, but from Scripture. We need, Joe, have you filled this up? Because I don't know. Not yet. Okay. Twice? Did you say twice, Bradley? Wow. I didn't say it. Bradley said it. I didn't say it. Listen, this is not here to depress you. It's really not. Oh, and if you notice, did you happen to notice that there were 9 dots that are above the columns there? Because you started living before you were born. Did you know that? From the moment you were conceived, you were alive. And those months count. Because you have been changing people's lives since the moment you were conceived. Oh, I'm born and now I... No. You have to ask your parents whether you changed their life before you were born. Ask those who are carrying children right now whether their unborn child is affecting their life right now. And they will agree with you that yes, they're making some changes. So you are making changes in people's lives before you were born. And so that's why those dots are already filled in, because you're here, so obviously you've been born. So there you go. So those are already, those 9 are important. That's why they're at the top there. I think it's important for you to fill this out. I think it's important for you to stick it in there, because lest you forget to count your days, lest you forget to count the importance of this life. It's not here to depress you. I really, that stinks. Like, what's my pastor do? My pastor just is there to make me feel bad and depress me. Like, what a horrible, job. I don't want to do that. I do want to light a fire under you, though, that you value every single day of your life. I do. Because some just like, oh, well, it's like, come on, get up, start moving. Wake up. Why are you snoozing? Oh, you know, I got plenty of days. You know what? You've been filling circles while you've been dozing off. Circles have been being filled. The time is not slowing down. It just continues on. And my perspective is that these have been filling up faster. It's like the pace is going faster as I get further down. I started in the, by the time I had the first 2 sections, 20 years old, I'm like, oh, my life is stretching forward. It's taken so long to get this far. Oh. And then next thing you know, I remember looking at people there in their 40s and going, I wonder what I'll be like in my 40s. Well, wonder no more, Jim. You're there. So you know what my new wonder is? I wonder what I'm going to be like when I'm 60. I wonder what kind of grandparent I'm going to be. I wonder how I'm going to blink a couple times and I'm not going to have to wonder that anymore. I'm going to wonder, hey, wonder what it's going to be like, to be in the presence of the Lord, to see Him face to face, to see the one who, it's not going to be very long and I'm not going to have to wonder anymore. Absolutely. Hey, guys, this life is short. And I want you to remember that, especially on the winter days of your life. You know those days where it doesn't seem like anything's happening? There's like no growth. Where you're just like, that's another one of these days. I want to tell you, those winter days of your life are in some ways the most important days of your life. I brought the kids, we were looking out our back window and we were looking at some of our trees, a cherry tree and there's an apple tree and there's some ones in the back there, leaves finally have fallen off. And you kind of look at them and I go, boy, and I just, was telling it, I don't know if it was Miley or who it was at that moment, but I was just talking about, look at those trees, look how fast they're growing right now. Like they are growing big time. And they're like, there's no leaves on them. What do you mean they're growing? I'm like, their roots are growing right now. How well they do when the weather gets warm is all about how well they're doing right now in the winter months. The illusion is that, oh, nothing's happening when it's winter. They're just sleeping and they're just going to wake up when things get exciting and it's time. Oh no, there's work being done. It's the work that's done below the surface. It's the work that's done when no one's looking. It's the work that's done and the application of your life in those days where you're just like, it's challenging today. Well, what you do on those days, I want to say, are more important than even those days when the sun is shining. Because when the sun is shining, you're just kind of reaping the benefits of what you did in the winter days of your life. If this is like a winter season of your life, things seem a bit slow, not as exciting, it's not what you expected it to be, I want to encourage you to do this. Seek the Lord in these days because God has purpose and plan even in the winter days of your life. Because the sun will shine again. Absolutely, it will shine again. And you will see the result of all that happened in the winter days of your life when the sun starts to shine. That's when you'll see all the things, the roots growing and the benefits of all of that. So, wow, super long intro. Title of this message is called Make It Count. We're going to be in Psalm chapter 90. And we're going to read a song and a prayer of Moses. Let's pray. Father, thank you for bringing us here this morning. Thank you for instructing us to count our days. Your plan, Lord, is definitely not to depress us. Your plan is to make us aware of reality. To not close our eyes and plug our ears and just pretend that it's not happening. It is happening. Time continues on, and it's a precious gift that you've given each one of us. Father, with the time that's spent in the rest of this service, I pray that you would make the most of it. Lord, that you would guide and direct my words. Holy Spirit, empower me to speak what you have to say so that we might hear you and that we might understand what your will is for our life. We love you, Father. In your name we pray. Amen. Psalm chapter 90. Moses wrote this psalm most likely after the death of his brother Aaron. Miriam had passed away, and there's just some, I think the realization of death was hitting Moses, and how short life is was starting to hit Moses. And Moses wrote this prayer. Now, there are some prayers of Moses that are in the Bible, but this one here is in Psalms, and so it's to song, too. We don't have the music, but we have the words. And so let's read this psalm, this prayer of Moses, as he realizes how short life is. Psalm 90, verse 1. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from the everlasting to everlasting, you are God. From everlasting to everlasting. That means eternity past to eternity forward. Eternity future, of which there's no ends. God has not been created. He has always existed and he will always exist. A mind-blowing concept. It's really hard to grasp. But in this song, Moses himself says, you know what, before there was a world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. It goes on. You return man to dust. Who returns man to dust? God returns man to dust. And say, return, O children of man. There's a time, and God's going to call you to return back. Verse 4, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. To God, the perspective of time, when we use anything to talk about time, God, it's been so long, it's like an hour or year or a lifetime. What does that mean to God? What is a lifetime? What lifetime? A human lifetime? 90 years? What is 90 years to God, who is from everlasting to everlasting? In this song, this prayer of Moses, he says, 1,000 years in your sight, God, are like yesterday, which is already gone. I mean, we would have to strain to think a little bit about yesterday because it's not in our forefront. We're thinking about today. If you start to go, yesterday, what did I do? I have to think again. What did I do? That's what like 1,000 years is like to God using this prayer of Moses. It's already gone. It's past. Or like a watch in the night. What is a watch in the night? Four watches in the night. 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., 9 p.m. to midnight, midnight to 3, 3 to 6. 1,000 years to God is like a watch in the night, 3 hours in the middle of the night. I think when we look at time and we say, God, you're taking so long, we are locked into this thing called time, and God looks at it from the big picture, the grandstand view, and he says, it's all making sense, my child. I know what I'm doing. Look, as the song goes on, this prayer goes on. You sweep them away as a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed, and in the evening it fades and it withers. Grass. You don't think about grass and think longevity. Wild grasses, the ones that kind of sprout up and they're green, you're like, look, it's great, it's spring. And then the hot summer comes and they brown out. That's what life is like. It goes by so fast. We don't think about grass when we think about long term. But yet, that's how Moses is describing this life. He goes on and he says this, verse 7, for we are brought to an end by your anger. For your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities, that's sins, before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. The stuff that we think that, oh, nobody knows about that. God knows about that. Verse 9, for all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. Just like that. And for some, that's what their last breath is. The years of our life are, look at this, 70. Or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? See, Moses right here, he's looking at he's contrasting the shortness of human life with the everlasting nature of God. And they're going, God, who are we in our short lives compared to you and all that you are? We sin against you, we do all these things, we think we get away with it, we think we know everything, and yet, Lord, compared to you, you know all of it. You know, we're living in this world, and you realize after a while, there's work. You know, for that moment, I think it's an amazing moment for a teenager when they realize and they get their first job that they're going to be working for the rest of their lives. It's one of those things where it's like, oh, yeah, I'm at home. I get to do this. I get to... Welcome to the workforce. You'll probably be doing this for the rest of your life. What? Yes. Yeah, it's called work. It's called work. Oh, well, I'll retire. Oh, you think it gets easier after you retire? You think life slows down? Ask some of those that are retired in here. It seems like their lives sometimes get busier. Wait, right? Okay. You know, and it's one of these things here where you look at our lives compared to God, and there is a huge contrast. And it's important for us to look at it. And so, Moses has in this prayer, that is a song, it's the lead up. This was the prefacing, this was all of the setting the stage, and now he gives us the purpose of why he set all of it up. Verse 12, here's why. So, because of everything that was just said, so, teach us to, what? Number our days. Why? Why would we do that? Because it's depressing. No, you number your days. Why? So that we may get a heart of wisdom. Do you want to be wise? Then number your days. Do you not want to be wise? Then just be like, ah, whatever. It doesn't matter. It does matter. It does matter. And Moses, let's just say this. Moses has outlived us. You know, he lived longer than us, excuse me. He experienced a couple things in his life. And this prayer is not something that's theoretical. It's based on his experience. And so you don't have to get to a certain point in your life to realize some of the things that Moses is saying. You can just read it. That's what I love about the Bible. I don't have to make all the mistakes in my life. I can read other people making mistakes and learn from them. I can learn from those that are older than I am. Moses here writes this, and he says, and as I read this, it's for me, it's like, Jim, so number your days so that you may get a heart of wisdom. Put your own name in there. Number your days. You want to be wise? Why is it wise to number your days? So that you will treat with so much care the days that you have left, that you will not waste them, that you will realize that these days that I have left need to be lived for the Lord. Why does it say teach us to number our days? Because our natural inclination is to let days slip by. That's why we have to be taught to count our days. Because if we're not taught to count our days, let me tell you, the world's not teaching people to count their days. Oh no, people are dying. Yeah. Yes! Number your days. You know, and you think about this too. You number your days, all of a sudden, oh, that person that I just can't forgive. Yeah, days are ticking down that you have left, for them or for you. One of you is going to die at some point in time, and then you're not going to have that option anymore. Oh, to forgive that person in your family that's wronged you, that family thing, that issue that you're still holding, that you care and you feed, that dark sin in your life that you're just like, here, just it makes me feel good. Your days are coming to a close that you're able to ask for forgiveness for that from that person, to actually look at them, to bring reconciliation to something. Your days are coming to a close. All of us are. There should be an urgency and a fire under us to do what the Lord wants us to do, not a, I'll get to it, because that's not wise to just go, I don't care about my days. And if you're just thinking this is some isolated passage in Psalms, like it doesn't say the same theme in the scriptures about counting your days or knowing this, then I want to give you a few others from three different people. First one is David. This is Moses, right? We looked at Moses in Psalm 90. We'll come back. There's some more verses in Psalm 90, but look at the screen here. Psalm 39, this is David. David says this, O Lord, Make me know my end and what is the measure of my days. Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths from here to here, this wide, the breadth of your hand. That's how wide my life is. Like, that's it. It's not very long. And my lifetime is nothing before you as far as length. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. And then Selah, which is, think about that. Think about that. That's David. All right, Moses said something like that. David said something like that. Let's go to the New Testament. Look what Paul says to the Ephesian church in Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. Paul says this. I read this verse at weddings too, because at the beginning of a wedding, sometimes it's like, wow, this is the beginning and it's all that. Count your days, because you will only be married for so many days. One of you will go to be with the Lord before the other. So count each day as precious. Don't waste the days. Don't keep the grudge. Don't be like, ah. And so I'll read this verse at weddings often. It's not uncommon. But look what Paul was saying about time. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but wise. There's that thing again. Counting your days is a wise thing. Not counting your days is a foolish thing. Making the best use of time, because the days are evil. They go by so fast. Therefore, do not be foolish. If you thought I was being strong by saying you not counting your days is foolish, then take it up with Paul. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord? That you would walk carefully in your life, that you would count your days. That's God's will for you, that you would not waste the time he's given you. Moses, David, Paul. How about Jesus? John chapter 9. Jesus, as he's sharing, he is walking on a road and he's going to pass by a person. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he's born blind? Jesus, we're going to give you two choices. He's blind because either he sinned or his parents sinned. Both are not true. Look what Jesus answers. It is not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God may be displayed in him. Now look, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. What does that mean? Night is coming when no one can work. Well, leave that verse up there for a second. That night that's coming is when you breathe your last breath. Because I'm going to do a lot of things for God. Let me just tell you this. After you've breathed your last breath here on this earth, you aren't going to be doing anything else for the Lord here on this earth. The time for you to do stuff and do the work of God, the thing that he has you to do, is while you still have breath. Which, nobody's died yet, right? Hoping, okay? You're still here. Then there's work for you to be done. This is not, I'm going to twiddle my thumbs. I'm going to let other people do work. I'm going to let other people serve, and I'm going to let other people do stuff. Jesus himself said this. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. What is he talking about? Because first they asked about this guy being born blind, and then Jesus starts talking about working while there's light outside, while it's daytime. It's not on the screen. The next verse that happens there is Jesus ends up doing a work of God. He ends up healing that blind man. And Jesus is sharing with us that the window of opportunity to serve him is limited. Well, how much more of a window of opportunity do I have to serve God? Well, it depends on where your dot is right now and then when your last dot will be, which you don't know. But it's appointed. Your window to serve the Lord is now limited from the dot that you just circled in here to the one that we don't know about. So this idea of, oh, I'll serve the Lord whenever, I'll get around to it, I've got a lot of stuff going on, but after I'm done with that, then I'll really get serious about just seeking the Lord. Foolish. Foolish. You do not know when your appointment is. And Jesus himself said, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. I just want to encourage you so much that you would do the things that the Lord's told you to do while you can. Because there'll be a time where you won't be able to anymore. There'll be a time where you will stand before the Lord. Oh, well, God, I really want to do some things. That's not the time. Now is the time. Now is the time. So we looked at a few different people, most importantly Jesus, but we go back to the Psalm 90 and we finish the verses that Moses had put in there, this prayer of Moses to God. And look what Moses says, verse 13 of Psalm chapter 90. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Moses is saying what I've heard those that, as they get older, I've heard this phrase more and more. I don't hear young people say this as much. I hear older people though. come quickly, Lord. Ready for you. No, seriously, ready for you. I'm feeling it. So ready for you. Oh, it hurts. Just hurts. Hurts to wake up. Kind of, I've seen this world. I've done it. See, that's the thing. I think there's some of those that they get to a certain point in their life and they realize, no, I think I got it. I figured this world out. I get it. But you haven't traveled everywhere. That's not what it's about. I get it. When you're younger, you don't get it. It's like, oh, I've got to do all these things. I've got to do all those things. And as you accumulate these experiences, I think the Lord reveals to us, so have you figured it out yet? Have you figured it out yet? It's not about all the stuff. It's not about all the stuff. There's someone really important that you should meet in this life, because this is the life that you can meet him in. This is the life that you can serve him in. And this is the life where you can make such a profound difference for Christ in. Do not waste it. And Moses is just saying, return, O Lord. Like, I'm kind of an old man. I've lived it. I get it, Jesus. I'm so ready. I'm so ready for you, God, to come. Please, take me, Lord. As I've been a pastor, I've definitely heard those that are older in pain just go, Lord, just come take me. I'm totally ready. I'm totally ready. Sometimes it's like, well, no. Like, don't you want to, like, live another 10 years? And sometimes they get this look on their face, and some of you understand exactly what I'm saying, where you're just like, stop that. Stop praying that prayer. Are you kidding me? I want to go be with Jesus. Stop praying that I have another 20 years here. Moses right here, return, O Lord, have pity on your servants. How long? That's what he's saying. I think some of you understand that. I think those of us that are younger would be wise for us to consider that. Oh, I'm gonna soak up this life in every single moment and all of that, and it's never gonna get old. I think that if you look at this world close enough, you realize, oh, wait, this isn't home. This isn't really what it's all about. No, it isn't. It isn't. Moses is not done yet. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Boy, to be glad every single one of your days. Verse 15, make us glad, because sometimes our inclination is not to be glad. Make us glad. For as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen evil. Make us glad, even though that sometimes we're afflicted, we go through pain, we see evil in this world. God, make us glad, not because of those things, make us glad because of who you are and because we're your children. See, because if you focus on the pain and the affliction of this world, it just causes us to spiral into a very dark hole. But if we look at who God is, we can still have joy and gladness, even while we live in this world. Verse 16, let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. And verse 17, a conclusion. Let the favor of the Lord be upon us and establish the work of your hands, of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. I've heard Joe quote this verse so many times. Verse 17, it's so great. I want God's favor to be upon me. I really do. I want God to favor me. I want to have his favor. But this is the important thing, is to have God's favor is not to have God do what I want God to do. It's for me to fall in line with his will. If you want God to favor you, it's you falling in line with him, not the other way around. And so, God, I just want your favor. So you just tell me what you want me to do so I can do it. Because I want your favor. And I want my hands, my voice, my life to be established. I want you to establish. I want you to strengthen. I want you to set like a foundation. I want you to set the things that I do in this life so that they have some eternal value. That's what God wants to do with each one of you. He wants your life, this short life that you're going to live, he wants your short life to have an eternal value. Not just for you, but for people around you. Establishing the works of God. Establishing your hands. So my prayer for us as a church in 2017 is that we would fall in line with what the Lord wants us to do. I got plenty of great ideas. Well, no, I've got plenty of ideas. whether they're great or not, that's really suspect. But I've got plenty of ideas. And you know what? A good number of them aren't what the Lord wants me to do. It's the truth. Hey, you got lots of ideas. And a good number of them are not what the Lord wants you to do. It's just an idea. Well, it's not an evil idea. Oh, no, I'm not saying it's an evil idea. It's just not what God wants you to do. So don't waste the few dots you have left, okay? Don't waste the few dots you have left doing something that's good that isn't what God wants you to do. See, as a church here, we don't do everything. And we are not trying to do everything. I don't want us to be so diluted and spread out so thin that we're ineffective at everything we do. I would rather do a few things really, really, really well. And I think that's all the Lord's asking us to do. He's not asking us to do everything. I think individually, he's not asking you to do every single thing. That's why the body of Christ is made up of so many parts, so that each part can do the work that God has called it to do. What's the part that he wants you to do? Are you doing it? I want to encourage you. Brother, sister, do it. Do what God's called you to do. He's given you the blessing of serving him. The window of serving him is closing. The opportunity is closing. So, you know, 2017 is coming. What are your plans? What are your plans for 2017? Well, maybe we'll move, get another job, buy a new car. That's not what I'm talking about. Let me ask you this. What are your spiritual plans for 2017? We make lots of other plans, financial plans. We make plans for what we're going to eat. I'm sure you may have thought about what you're going to eat for lunch. You know, maybe you're just like, oh, yeah, we got some. Oh, yeah, this is going to be great. We plan and we think about that. God is saying, hey, how about you put that planning mentality you have and apply it to things that are spiritual? What are you planning for? What are your spiritual plans for 2017? I put a couple of things down on a piece of paper here. Like, have you read the Bible? What if 2017 is the year that you read the entire Bible? You just, at least you start, you know? And when you get discouraged, unlike other years, you won't stop. You'll just go, oh, I missed a couple days. And you'll realize God forgives you. There's not a big deal. Get into it. The thing is where you stop and you don't start again. That's the thing. Just get back on the horse and keep riding. Keep reading. Maybe this will be the year where you come to a prayer meeting. They're so early. Yes, they are. Yes, they are, and it's good for you. It's real good for you. It's good for you. That sacrifice is good. Mm-hmm. Yep, it's good. If you've been praying that I'll change my view on that, you can just keep trying because that's not going to happen. Maybe serving in some capacity. Oh, maybe I'll go over to the care home. I'll go pray for, I've been wanting to. Okay, so you have whatever circle you're on today, right? How many circles back was the I've been wanting to? When did that start? Is that a row up? Is that two rows up? Is that like a whole section up a decade ago? I'm not here to make you feel bad, but you do know, if you've known me for any amount of time, we're going to be real. How long have you been saying you're going to do something? You haven't done it. How many circles back, which by the way, you can't go back to. All you can do is now. All you can do is the time that he has given you that you have left. And don't go, oh, I've got a couple rows underneath me. Do you? If God has already told you to do something, then stop asking him for new things because you still haven't done the things he's already told you. Do those things first. Amen, Gabe? Yeah, absolutely. Do those things that he's already told you to do first. I think that's a challenge for us. We go, God, I don't want to do that thing. That's really hard and I don't really want to. So I'm really asking you to tell me what you want me to do. I don't know what your will is. God's like, what did I already tell you? Do it. Maybe this will be the year where you won't be ashamed that you're a Christian. You'll invite somebody to church. Oh, what will they think of me? Let's see, how many dots back were you thinking that? How long have you been thinking that in your life? What people think about you? Oh no, what will they think? Oh no, some of them may not like you. Guess what? Some of them may not like you. Is that what you're living? How long have you been living your life based on what other people think about you rather than what God wants you to do? Maybe 2017 will be the year that you forgive somebody who's trespassed against you. How many dots back have you been holding that one? How far? Come on, free yourself. Free yourself. Forgive. Realize how much Christ has forgiven you for. We're going to remember what Jesus did for us. You know, Scripture tells us, you know, as we take communion together, this idea of if you're holding a trespass against somebody else, then don't take communion. Why? Because you're saying, Jesus, thank you for forgiving me, but I totally am not going to forgive somebody else. Don't take communion then. Because you're asking God, you're thanking God when we have communion, you thank him for something he's done for you, and you and I did not deserve it. And he so willingly did it, and he did it with love, and we aren't willing to do the same thing for somebody else. The Bible tells us, go make things right with that person then. Do it first. Jesus said, you are my friends if you do what I command you to do, if you do what I tell you to do. And church, we just need to be faithful in the little things. It's not these massive things. I don't think God's asking you to do some crushing responsibility. I think it's these small, simple to understand things that he tells us to do that we just say, I don't want to. And that's the thing that restricts us. I have a few other things on here. Do you want your marriage to grow? Do you want your kids to be walking in the ways of the Lord? Do you want to be used by God to win other people to Christ so that they may know who Christ is? Then I would encourage you to number your days. I would encourage you to make a plan. Make a plan. Isn't that God's responsibility? No. God asks us to make a plan and then he directs our steps. Have you made a plan? I was just hoping God would just drop a plan out of the sky. No. You make a plan and then you give God full editing rights to your plans. Okay? You make a plan, do your best job, okay? And then you give him full editing rights. Oh, I see your heart in that. That's really good. But no, we won't do that. We'll do this. That's good. Keep that and change that to this. And here, now do this. You make a plan. You submit it to God. God makes any changes he wants. And then you do what God told you. That's not complicated to understand. Oh, but doing it? Don't we get in the way of that one? Church, we need to number our days. I saw this quote. Spurgeon was quoting another man, and I think we'll have it up on the screen if it'll pop up here. Look at this. Of all the arithmetic... Oh, my goodness. Thank you! This is a group effort. Of all the arithmetical rules, this is the hardest, to number our days. Men can number their herds and droves of oxen and of sheep. They can estimate the revenues of their manors and farms. They can, with a little pains, number and tell their coins. And yet they are persuaded that their days are infinite and innumerable, and therefore do never begin to number them. I hope you don't believe the lie that your days are innumerable here on this earth. You will breathe your last breath like a sigh. You will see Jesus face to face. Your window to serve him is while you have breath here on this earth. Let's serve him with our whole heart. Our family took a couple days to just get away between Christmas and today, New Year's Day. And we drove down to Tehachapi, which is to east of Bakersfield there, and up in the hills, and there's some snow on the ground, and got to see grandparents. Kids got to see grandparents, and it was a lot of fun. But as we're driving back, I'm always mesmerized by it. And whenever Dawn sees me do this, she's like, keep your eyes on the road. I'm just like, look at the crops and the lines and the lines. They're so straight. They're so straight. I mean, it's just, tell me, like, that's not so distracting. Maybe it's just me, but it's just like, I see the lines go by and I'm like, look at them. Look at them. Stay away from the light. So, like, I mean, I'm telling you, if I told you, you know, guys, it's amazing. That vineyard right there, that just all happened without any planning. It all just happened. That just happened. It just happens all over the place, all by itself. Nobody pounded in those stakes or tied up those vines. Nobody did all that. Nobody's cultivating and doing those things. Nobody. It just all happens. There's no plan. Who needs a plan? Who needs a plan? If you want anything to grow, you need some plan. And see, this is the part that, wow, that looks amazing. And this is the part that gets the glory. Well, when they get bigger for sure and the harvest time is happening, it's like, wow, that's the moment when everybody wants to have a vineyard, right? Look at the harvest. I want a vineyard. What does it take? Let me show you a picture of what it might take if we have another one. There you go. Are you ready for that? Because if you want the other thing, then you have to be ready for this. And maybe your life is looking like this. You're like, where's I don't even see anything. The vines are there, protected by those tubes. If you're looking at this, it's not this. This is just weeds. That's nothing. it's all on the side there. See, maybe this is where you're at in your life. And you're just going, it's a winter season in my life. Let me tell you, if the farmer doesn't do the right thing and apply diligence in the winter seasons of life, then the crop won't come. And if you're just like, just let the days tick by. It's just, this is what it feels like in my life right now. So it doesn't matter. Someday it'll get exciting. Let me just tell you, it'll just get warmer and nothing else will happen if you haven't taken care of this work. If we look at that first picture there, the one before, you want this. then you need to trust the Lord, even in those days where things are like, oh, Lord, it seems just a bit cold. It doesn't seem like anything's growing. God's growing your roots when it's cold. God's growing your roots when it's winter in your life. Make a plan, submit it to God, let Him make the changes, and then you do what He tells you to do. I'm on the last page of my notes here. I didn't realize I was going to have so much to say on this day, but some of you are just like, Jim, I don't have much time left. Like, you're just like, I'm fighting not being depressed. Again, it's so that you'll be wise, not that you'll be depressed. And you may be looking at it like, I don't have much time left, so what difference will it make? I maybe have like maybe a row and a half, maybe two rows, maybe three rows, but I don't even know that. Let me tell you, it's never too late to plow a field. It's never too late to plant seed. If you still have breath, you can still plow a field that needs to be plowed in your life. That there's something where there's been hard ground and you need to break it up. Forgiveness. Do it now. It's never too late to throw seeds out, to share the truth of who Jesus is, to love people around you. As long as you have breath, it is never too late. I don't care if you have one more circle left. It's not too late for you. You may not see the harvest happening, but you can do the work right now so that those that come after you can benefit from the harvest. So your life will not be wasted in the Lord. If you still have breath, continue to serve the Lord. The last thing I want to do is I want to leave us off with Jesus, and we're going to remember what He did for us on the cross. Jesus said this. He saw a large group of people coming, and they were on the Sea of Galilee, and they were coming towards Him. And John chapter 6, verse 5, lifting up His eyes then, He, seeing a large crowd was coming towards Him, said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" Philip, a lot of people are coming. Where are we going to get the bread? I love it when Jesus asks questions. He already knows the answer to every single question. He's not asking for the answer. He's asking for the sake of the person He's asking the question to. And He said this to test him, Philip, for He Himself knew what He would do. Verse 7, Philip answered, 200 denarii. He starts doing the calculations. Well, the answer must be financial. 200 denarii worth of bread are not enough for each of them to even get a little bit. So Philip goes financial. Andrew is relational. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "Oh, there's a boy. He has five barley loaves. They're like little dinner rolls. And two fish. They're like little sardines. But what are they for so many?" And I think that verse is so powerful. I know it's kind of hidden in this right here. At the very end there. There's a boy here who has five barley loaves and two fish. But what are they for so many? And I want you to remember that if you think, maybe I've wasted a lot of my life. A lot of those dots there, I didn't live for Christ. Listen. I only have a few left. I don't have very much left. And maybe you're saying the same thing that Andrew is saying here. What are they for so many? What are the few little months of my life that I have left, or years of my life left, God? There's so much work to do. And what does it matter now? I'm so far gone. Jesus uses everything if you're willing to give it to Him. Verse 10, Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus took the loaves. When He gave thanks, He distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, He told His disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." All I got is like five little dinner rolls and two little sardines in my life, God. I don't really have a whole lot. Jesus says, but are you willing to give that to me? That's really the question. Are you willing to surrender it to Him, whatever you have left? Because if you do, Jesus, if there's anybody that knows how to make the most out of something small, it's Jesus. Do not be discouraged. Do not look backwards in regret. Look forward with what God has for you and how God can use you. And look out at the people that God has put around you. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. The ushers are going to pass out the elements in just a bit. The worship team can come on up right now. And we are going to share in communion. We are going to remember what Jesus did for us on the cross. But, you know, that forgiveness, if you've been holding back forgiveness from someone, and that it's been a couple rows up on those dots there in your life, you got to let it go for your own sake. You got to let it go. It's been eating you up and consuming you. It's been restricting your walk with the Lord. God, I want to experience your joy and your peace and all of those things. Unforgiveness will absolutely stop that. In a marriage, if you have not forgiven your spouse, it will bring a wall. Oh, I wish things were better. I wish we wouldn't do this. Well, have you forgiven? Have you forgiven the other person as Christ forgave you? So before we take communion, and remember, you shouldn't take communion if you're harboring unforgiveness. You're asking Jesus you're thanking Jesus for all he's done for you while you hold that back from someone else. Can't be that way. Is there an answer? Yes, there's an answer. Ask God to forgive you. Ask God to take that from you. Ask for forgiveness. You can do it right now. And then when you get a chance to see that person, you make sure you tell them to their face. Make sure you tell them so they hear your voice. Make sure they know. So maybe that's where you're at today. You've just been weighed down by unforgiveness in your life. You can pray a prayer something like this. Father, please forgive me for all those things that I've been holding against another person. Father, free me from the chains of my unforgiveness. Father, I've trained myself to reach back into that and pull it out and throw it at that person every time they hurt me. Help me to choose not to reach into the past and bring up the past. Jesus, I thank you that you choose not to bring up my past and use it against me. You have forgiven me as far as the east is from the west. I want to do that for those that have wronged me. Father, forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those who have trespassed against me. Jesus, thank you so much that you are helping me forgive those around me. And Jesus, thank you for forgiving me of so much. I love you, Jesus. Amen.